from now until we get into heaven, we're going to fall short on a day in and out basis. We're going to need the blood of Jesus to cover us and the grace of Jesus to reconcile us back to Him.
This is The Uncomfortable Truth. Hello and welcome back to The Uncomfortable Truth. We are super excited you guys are joining us on a Monday morning for real, no cap.
No cap.
No cap.
You ever heard of that?
Nope.
No cap.
This is like new kids, new talk, new speak.
We learned over
it's uncomfortable when young people hear me say stuff like that.
So when you're not lying, when it's like no lie, it's no cap.
No cap.
No cap, bro. No cap. And
I don't get it.
I don't either.
And no cap. And then like your buddy, he's going to say, for real? And you're going to say, for real, for real. For real, for real. This is the new lingo.
And they don't. It's mostly typed out in Texas. FRFR. Like it's. I'm being serious. I'm not joking. Telling you the truth.
Like for real. No cap.
Makes you a little uncomfortable, doesn't it?
Yeah. Weird.
For real.
For real. For real.
No cap. No cap, bro.
No cap, bro.
So
I just now have been kind of getting over the bro thing. You know, the last couple of years.
Well,
and so now it's no cap.
We're not even going to get into like bussing and.
Yeah, I don't even know what that one means.
But bus, like, so when you are eating and the food is like off the chain.
That's bussing.
This food is bussing.
Bussing.
And if.
What if you said this food's mid?
That's like just okay.
It's all right.
Where's this coming from? I've never heard that.
Teens.
Yeah.
Andrew said that the guys, you know, that he hangs with talk that way. Not necessarily the ones he hangs with, but like he's always around guys that
bussing.
He'll like be telling them a little story and they'll be like, no cap? For real, no cap, bro?
For real, for real.
and I said, what do you say whenever they say that? And he said, usually for real, for real.
Like I need to say it twice to get it through your head. Oh, my God. Oh, man. I remember hearing kids, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago where you would say something and they would agree with you and they would just say same.
Same.
Same. But I've started using that recently. It's just part of my normal dictation, and I'm like, oh my gosh, man! Make your own words up.
I remember Bill O'Reilly used to always say, "What you say,
what you say,
what you say." No, or you say like he would get to the end of a sentence, and he would look at whoever he was interviewing with, and you say,
"Oh yeah," he's like, "You say," and I've heard him say that before. Yeah, you like, say.
You say.
What is he asking them to clarify something?
Yeah, like, what do you have to say about it?
Oh, you say.
You say.
It sounds like
just a
Arabic word or something.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, you're gonna be leading the message today, right?
Yes.
Sean's in. Obi will open us up in prayer.
Sure will. Father God, we just thank you so much for bringing us here safely. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for just all of the people that you've entrusted us with. Lord, I pray that we would glorify you in everything that we do. I pray that we would honor you, and Lord, that we would just bring glory to your name. And Lord, we thank you for this platform. We pray that we could possibly just speak to one person and pull them a little bit closer to you. I pray that we could be a light, and that, Lord, I pray that you would just watch over us, help us walk towards you, and help us seek your will in everything that we do. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
For real, for real.
For real, for
real. For real, for real.
Also, amen.
No cap. So this is no cap right here. All out right, of John 13:17, Jesus answered, "What I am doing you will not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." In this verse, Jesus was getting ready to wash Simon Peter's feet, and Simon Peter did not understand why Jesus was getting ready to wash his feet because he was the Messiah. You know, he was the Son of God, and he felt like he was way above that, and he didn't understand the humility in that. And so I wrote, this was my devotional that I had written the other day. And basically, just to kind of summarize, I went through just talking about the sovereignty of God and how God, you know, is laying our path straight, even though we don't see it. You know, God can see around every corner, and he can see what's coming and what's happening. And we need to stop trying to control and micromanage every aspect of what occurs in our life. You know, we need to have faith and just believe that God is sovereign, God is in control, and that God understands what's going on in this very moment. So, and it made me just kind of reflect in my own life, how many times I questioned God and what was going on in my life, and how much I struggle with giving him the reins and with letting go and trying to do it myself. I wanted to question what was happening, and then also it made me think about the demonstration of humility. I just don't know if there is a greater attribute or a more attractive attribute for me to run across someone who's had a lot of success, but who walks in humility, like on another level, on a level that they're taking the trash out and they're mopping the floors and they're willing to do anything they have to do. And at the same time, not only do they demonstrate humility with all of their actions, and they're successful in the eyes of the world, you know, but they just waller in humility. And that's, to me, that's such an attractive thing. So it's kind of a two-part deal, you know. Are you questioning God, and are you demonstrating humility in your own life? And is that something that you struggle with, or is that something that do you guys feel like it's something that you're pretty good at?
I think that it's something that we both all struggle with.
Yeah.
I think if,
especially if it's something that we feel like we know a lot about, it's hard to run that line of, I can definitely, it's easy for me to be humble if I know nothing about, like I'm talking to you guys about insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just going to lean on you. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to admit, like, I don't know nothing about this.
Right.
Like, hey, guys, help me out. Mm-hmm. But if it's something that I know a lot about and somebody else is trying to tell me how to do it or what to do, and I quickly realize that I know more than they do, it's like, in one ear, out the other,
right.
Typically.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just the control aspect of anything for anybody that just is in a leadership position or, you know, is called upon to produce, to be efficient, to do something very well, you want to control every aspect of everything that is involved in the success or the failure of that particular thing that you're doing. And so I think that in those situations, we naturally want to control everything that everybody's doing. We think we know best. And then that slowly trickles into, sadly, a lot of other areas in our life, and we don't realize how quickly that kind of control mindset and thinking that we have to control everything can root like real deeply into pretty much everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think, you know, Sean, what you were talking about how the folks that are in, you know, super large leadership positions, that the ones that really are just so humble, don't, you know, like you said, don't mind, they stick out. They shine so bright because you know that the tendency to want to control for them is still there. But yes, they're choosing to remain humble and know, you know, what I wonder is, you know, do they manage to create that that mindset and that lifestyle of living humble in that in their shoes, you know, mm-hmm. by leaning into the Lord and really just understanding that everything that they have is a gift, or do they pull that motivation from something else? You know, are they truly trying to be more like Jesus and wash the feet of their employees or wash the feet of their people that they're entrusted with, or that they're called to lead, or, you know, kind of have, I hate to use the word have dominion over, but it's almost like you're the patriarch maybe of the family. And so like, it's almost like you may be in the top spot, but you're the one who is washing the feet and maybe giving up your meal for them. I think about last night I was watching Cinderella Man.
I need to watch that show.
Such a great movie.
And, yeah. It was on Netflix?
It was on Netflix, yeah.
I'm going to have to watch that.
And one of my favorite scenes in the movie is right in the beginning of the movie. You know, he starts out, it shows, you know that he's boxing, doing really well, and then very quickly it gets to 4 years later, 4 years into the Great Depression, and he wakes up, and he goes in, and he's getting ready to go out and try to find some work. And he's sitting at his kitchen table with his daughter and his wife. And his daughter just finished her little tiny piece of bologna. And she said, "I'm still hungry, Mama." And she said, "I'm sorry, baby. We got to save some food for the other kids." Mm. And Dad's sitting there with his piece of meat on the plate. And he said, Rosie's his daughter's name. He said, "Rosie, did I tell you about my dream I had last night?" And she was like, "No, Daddy." And he says, "I was at the Ritz-Carlton eating the biggest steak I've ever had." He said, "You wouldn't believe how amazing it was." He was like telling her this story. Mm-hmm. And she was like, "Daddy, that sounds amazing." He said, "It was amazing. It was so amazing that I couldn't possibly eat another bite." Mm. And he said, "Can you help me with this?" And she said, "Yeah, Daddy." And he gets the entire thing, shoves it onto her plate, and walks out. And it makes you think, I mean, humble, sacrificial, mm-hmm. for your children, for the people God's entrusted you with. And you know, his wife's sitting over there with tears streaming down her face, and he walks out and goes to work so he can buy some more, you know, some more food for the table. And man, that scene.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Every, you're right in the gut.
Every time.
Yeah. It just makes you, it makes you grateful and humble.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we have a good friend that runs a business that's doing millions and millions of dollars, and they're rocking and rolling. And every time I call him, or every time he invites us somewhere or whatever, we'll be like, "Hey, man, we'll be there at 7. And the first thing he says is, "Man, I'll be back in the back washing dishes, or I'll be, you can find me over there. I'll be mopping the floors." And there's lots of times that's what he's doing.
Okay. Yeah, he's not joking. He's actually doing this.
100%. There's no joking. There's no joke. Now, in that moment, he might be, if they're having an event, you know, he washes dishes and mops floors and is up on the ladder doing whatever. I mean, he's that guy 100%. Mm-hmm. And he might be being a little sarcastic maybe in that moment, but that's what he does all the time. And,
yeah.
And he'll be up there at 7 or 8 o'clock at night if that's what it takes. And very, very hard worker. And, that's such an admirable thing.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking about, you know, something that I've done for 21 years is I've been in the Antler furniture business, and, we have a company called Antler Works, for those of you who do not know, and we build antler lighting and furniture and have for quite a while and sell to retail stores and also direct to consumer. And recently, I had a guy come in from Australia. Him and his wife flew in. They reached out to us on Instagram ahead of time. Hey, look, we're making the rounds, and we want to come by and visit you and your business and learn a little bit about what y'all do. He's an antler furniture. He's an electrician in Australia, and he also builds antler furniture.
Awesome.
Loves it. He loves it on another level. Okay. Like, I've never seen anybody that's so obsessed with building antler furniture as this guy. And he's just a one-man show. And anyway, and he wants to grow his company, but he doesn't. He's only interested in doing it himself and maybe having one or two employees. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to grow to AntlerWorks' level. Right. Not interested at all.
Yeah.
But he came in, and we actually ended up going out to Bear Creek Smokehouse and eating lunch that day that he came in and visited us. And ironically, he even went to our church on the Sunday before.
Okay.
And I just think that's so crazy.
You didn't know he was at your church?
He, not until after. No.
Oh, okay.
Now, he had asked where we go to church in an earlier conversation. And he was like, maybe I'll visit. But then we were out of town that Sunday morning, and he was at our church going to, and I was like, awesome. What the heck, man? Yeah. Why didn't you let us know?
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm sorry. I just thought you'd be there. And
yeah.
I was like, my goodness. Anyway, nicest guy on the planet, Christian, just super humble, and came in and spent a few hours with us at AntlerWorks. And I took him to lunch that day and paid for his lunch. And he said, man, I got a question. He was like, why in the world do y'all drill out the antlers, you know, in this fashion? Why do y'all run all the wires to the middle and junction everything in the middle? I don't understand why you do it. I said, well, how do you do it? He was like, well, I stay on the outside perimeter. You don't have to use all the putty. You're not going to have to use as much wire. Mm-hmm. I do it this way. And he was like, why do you do it that way? And I said, because that's how we've done it for 21 years.
Right,
you know, like that's like in my mind, I'm an expert. I've done it this way for 21 years. And I was like, but dadgum, your way sounds better.
Yeah.
And so now guess how we run the wire? His way.
Okay.
We're running it his way. He brought us value
by
flying here from Australia. And I thought I was an expert and I was doing it this the right way and have been for 21 years, but I've been doing it the wrong way for 21 years and I'm not an expert. And you have to be, if I was not a humble person.
No, you are an expert.
Yeah.
I would say that you've been doing it the wrong way for 21 years and you are an expert. Somebody that does
you've been doing it the way that
you know how to do.
That's right.
Yeah, just because somebody has a better way of doing something doesn't mean that you're not an expert at it. You've been doing a craft for 21 years. You're honestly, I mean, not, you know, just making off the cuff remarks, you know, in front of the camera. You've probably built more antler chandeliers than most of the people in the world. In the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's probably
pretty true. I would say that pretty well makes you an expert.
Yeah.
What the thing is you can learn from somebody. You can learn from anybody.
That's yeah.
Right. You can learn something new from anybody. It could have been just an electrician that's never even seen an antler chandelier that saw it and they asked you a couple of electrical questions about your lighting and you answered him. He's like, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
You know, and it could change everything.
Yeah.
You're gonna create more margins in your chandeliers. You're going be more efficient with what you're doing and all because of
less hole. I mean, there's all kinds of benefit to the way that we are now wiring the chandeliers because of what he've said. But
awesome.
But it took a certain level of humility to admit that there was a better way, right?
Right.
Yeah. You had to be open to hearing what somebody else had to say.
I think that's for really cool.
Did you almost say for real, for real?
Almost. No cap.
I was just thinking, you know, I was like, you know, the example that Jesus gave in the humility of washing feet. And at the end of the day, it was all about this is what humility is. And you need to practice that attribute every single day in your life. And whenever you do, you're going to be better for it.
Mm.
I mean, besides dying on the cross for our sins, I feel like the demonstration of humility and the washing the feet, I just don't know if there's any greater examples besides his the ultimate sacrifice, right, yeah. right? Besides the ultimate sacrifice, I don't know if there's any greater examples of an attribute that we should be practicing in our lives every single day than humility.
Yeah.
Do y'all?
No, I don't. I think that any example that Jesus chose to put on display for his followers and for the world to see how God wants us to live our lives is the ultimate. That's the ultimate. Like that's the baseline. Like that's how we're supposed to live our lives. And if we want, if our desire is to live a life of fulfillment with joy and peace, then the only way that I know how to do that is to practice the attributes of Jesus.
Yeah.
And humbleness, obviously, humility, obviously, if the creator of the universe is getting down and washing the feet of a criminal or whatever.
Sinner.
Yeah. I mean, somebody that wasn't a great person, they just chose to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If he sees fit to get down on his knees and wash this guy's feet, then is there anybody on this planet
then who am
that
I,
shouldn't
who
be
are
doing
you?
It yeah. as well?
Exactly.
And I think the answer is ultimately it's what we need to do. It's one of the things that we need to add to the way we do life that's going to bring us more fulfillment, more peace, more joy,
yeah.
and allow us to experience a more fulfilled life.
100%.
The guy that knew everything knew something about serving.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, trust, faith, and belief come around the time of surrender. And when we fully surrender, we put somebody or something over everything that we're doing. And we trust, believe, and have faith that his ways are better than our ways.
That's right.
Appreciate y'all being here today. Remember, go kick the day in the face. Hey, if you're getting value from this, hit those subscribe buttons. If you're listening to podcast, leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. It helps helps reach more people. If you're on YouTube, hit that like, share, mainly that subscribe button. We really appreciate it and would help us in our vision to cast this out to more people. Go kick the day in the face, and we'll catch you on the next one.